Stay tuned for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Thank you, Kid Rock, for leading us in once again for the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. It's where we, the people, meet the resistance to make sure that we push back, that we fight back, we stand up for this exceptional nation called the United States of America against the march to Marxism, the progressives, the totalitarians, the authoritarians, the pink-haired commies, as Donald Trump said over the weekend.
Yeah.
And of course, this episode, it is entitled The COVIDitarians, and you'll find out why in just a moment. Joining us in the battle once again is one of our main warriors, our executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
Yeah, we are being led by idiots, so we can commiserate together for the next almost
right. You know, they say misery loves company, but there's strength in numbers. And our associate producer and researcher, Double X, is here, Michelle Drizel. Hello, Michelle.
Hi there.
Right.
Joe. Yeah.
All ready to go
all
today?
Right.
All
right. Yeah, I am.
Look, you have your game face on today, so we'll wait and see. Yeah. Very serious. Lots of ground to cover today. We're going to go over this incredible contradiction in terms from what they're doing in New Zealand to what is being said here in the United States and why we shouldn't trust a damn word they say until actions speak louder than words. President Trump has hit the ground running. He is primed. He is ready to go. Apparently, he and DeSantis now are swinging the club at each other. I think DeSantis fired back a little bit today. We'll tell you some of the things he had to say, which is not getting covered really by a lot of the the state-run media. So I include Fox in that as well. There are just a few people on Fox that I will watch and I think have freedom, complete freedom, and they won't touch him. It's Tucker Carlson. Tucker does a great job there. We got Biden continuing to divide the nation and lying. He had a stop over in Baltimore here in the blue state.
Yeah,
he's always over here. That's because it's very blue and we're like tucked away in a foxhole.
Now he probably has an uncle over here that drove a bus or something.
And the coming food shortages are here. And this is what the world is not telling you. The other side of the planet is literally starving to death, and nobody is talking about it. And it's coming here as well, the United States. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. Also, an incredible bill passing out of the Minnesota State Assembly. It is very scary. It is a wholesale murder of the unborn and forced sterilization, which we see in where? Oh, China and some other Venezuela, Cuba, and the former Soviet Union. So we got a lot of ground to cover today. And I chose this Founding Fathers quote from Founding Father Ben Franklin because it warned about the dangers of authoritarianism, totalitarianism, communism, Marxism, socialism, progressivism, plug in your favorite title. Ben Franklin warned of the siren's call to power by government officials when he observed, quote, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." End of quote. Yep. And that's exactly right, Joe. That's exactly what we did during COVID. We gave up essential liberties in order to get safety. We got neither. What did we find out? We gave up our liberty. We gave up our freedom, and we still weren't protected. We still were getting infected, and we're still dying from it. You see what's trending on Twitter? Myocarditis is the leading trending topic on Twitter today. So
it's weird.
It is really weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, it tells you exactly where we are. We still have people dropping like flies, you know, young people in their 20s, 30s, et cetera, dying suddenly from any number of ailments. And then we have others that, you know, are dying prematurely in their 60s and 70s as well. So
I had to laugh because I wore an old jacket that I haven't worn since last year. I pulled out a mask.
Oh, I know. Isn't that weird?
It's like, yeah.
You're wearing old stuff. I find it sometimes in my briefcase or tucked away in my car somewhere. Well, so exactly. Yeah, hate those masks. Get them out of here. They don't work anyway. That's all right. We are being told 3 years later, Joe Biden is going to end all COVID-19 emergencies on May the 11th. Why then and not now? Because they say an abrupt end to the emergency declarations would create wide-ranging chaos and uncertainty throughout the healthcare system, for states, for hospitals and doctors' offices, most importantly, for tens of millions of Americans, said the Office of Management and Budget. We already have a state of chaos. Okay?
Right.
They created a state of... Remember the mass injection centers that people had to go?
Yes.
If you got the jab, you had to go. And it was really surreal. I remember, I regret going now, but I did it so that I could see my mother and not put her in any danger. But I would never do it again. I would never, ever do it again. This mRNA technology is very scary. It's here to stay. And so we're going to have to fight back strongly against it. But again, I've always stood for medical freedom. You have that decision to make as long as we get all the information. That's all. And then everybody can make their own decisions as to whether they want the jab or not. Anyway, it was just surreal standing in those lines. You felt like you were in a movie. You know, you were getting ready to be shuffled off to some distant planet, or you didn't know where you were going to go, because after you got the jab, you had to wait like 15, 20 minutes to make sure you didn't die or have an adverse reaction. It was something, let me tell you. But the end to the COVID emergency declarations also mean now that people are going to have to pay out-of-pocket expenses. So for your COVID test, there are no more freebie tests as of May 11th. If you opt for the jab, you're going to have to pay for that, which is, I think, tripled or quintupled in price the last time we talked. And any other treatments, antivirals, you or your insurance company will have to negotiate that. But it does mean the end of the COVID spending, which now we're $32 trillion in debt and $6 trillion just in the last 2 years, thanks to Chairman Joe, which is mortgaging the future of our kids. But that's not really the biggest. The biggest part is I'm having a tough time believing they're going to give up the power and the control, because that's really what floats their boat.
They'll find something else.
The next pandemic, as Bill Gates has warned us about at the Davos, Switzerland World Economic Forum, was a big topic of discussion. What is going to be the next, the great reset, if you will. So this was a test. This is only a test, but it was a really important test. And I'm sorry to say we failed it. We failed it because we gave up our religious freedoms. We gave up our freedom of speech. We were censored on social media when we were trying to warn people about the jabs and so forth. We had some brave individuals on podcasts and on talk radio, and some liberals that helped join the cause, like Dr. Naomi Wolf and Steve Kirsch and Alex Berenson and Robert Kennedy Jr. and a few others. Too many to go through the entire laundry list here, but they were Americans first. Boy, isn't that special? Isn't that something, an exception to the rule, where we're not being divided by party, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Independent, whatever, but we are Americans first. We got to get back to that, but we're not going to get back to it as long as Chairman Joe is here. So this isn't here yet, but it is coming. And I'll remind you why it's coming here. Remember Jacinda Ardern, the absolute authoritarian prime minister of New Zealand? She was a real ball buster. Well, she stepped down because she was going to lose the election. But the guy that's replacing her, his name is Chris Hipkins. Chris Hipkins is just as bad, if not worse. And here is a glaring example.
I think early next year we'll be in the phase of chasing up people who haven't come forward to get their vaccination or have missed their bookings and so on. So everyone will be able to get a vaccine between now and the end of the year. But of course, and I want every New Zealander to come forward, but human behaviour suggests that there will be some people that we have to actually really go out and look for, and some of that may spill into next year. But our commitment is everyone will have the opportunity to get the vaccine by the end of the year. Everyone will, but I can't say that, that we're not going to have some hesitant people or some people who just haven't come forward that we don't have to go out and find next year.
Yeah. And listen to the words he uses. Chase, look for. It's almost as like they're going to hunt you down.
Right.
They're going to hunt you down if you're unjabbed in New Zealand, and you are going to get the jab whether you like it or not. And you might say, well, wait a minute, Sean, that's never going to happen here. This is America. We have our rights. Guess what? We gave up a lot of our rights. We surrendered our rights. And I'll tell you something, we've reported on this before. I'm just going to remind you that when you go see your doctor's going to code, and that code, if you get the jab, there's a, so I can't remember what the numerical sequence is, but you get a code. It's an AMA. The AMA billing codes run the industry. So when you go in and you are diagnosed with, oh, I don't know, the flu, you get a code. If you go in with diabetes, you get a code. If you have a heart condition, you get a code. Every code, and that's how they bill. That's how they bill the insurance companies. That's how they report to the federal government, is that code. So if you got the jab, you are already coded. If you didn't get the jab, that will be in your electronic medical records. There's no code for the jab. Therefore, they know, the feds, they know who got the jab and who didn't get the jab. And so guess what?
That's right.
If they wanted to, in another pandemic, forget about the mask mandates and the lockdowns and, you know, you can't go out to church, whatever. They'll just come into your home, knock on the door. Okay. It's the federal government and we're here to jab you. That could very well happen.
Oh, yeah. Look at China.
Yeah. China actually locked people in their homes.
I know. Yeah.
So they couldn't get out. So the COVIDitarians are at work. Where they're showing their cards in New Zealand right now. And of course, all that stuff eventually comes to the United States. First, it stops off in California where it festers for a little bit. And then, of course, to the rest of the country. So it's important that you know this. It's important that, again, maybe you can talk your doctor into, I don't want any codes on my record whatsoever. Don't know if they'll comply. If not, find a new doctor. And I'm sure what's going to happen after the emergency is declared over. But the WHO, the Wuhan Health Organization, is out there saying today it's not over. So more contradictions, more mixed messages as they realize, gee, if we proclaim it's over, we're going to give up the power and control. Not willingly. And the other thing that you look at, we have calls now. They're growing in number. We talk about this all the time. But there is now in South Africa. The court action there has been launched by three nonprofit companies, and they're calling for the immediate suspension of the jab because of all the adverse effects and events that have been happening there, myocarditis and other issues as well. A renowned MIT professor and drug safety analytics specialist is now also calling for the immediate suspension of all mRNA vaccines, which, by the way, were developed at DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, super secret black budget military ops. They do some great work, don't get me wrong. But this was well-intentioned, but the mRNA, bad idea. It wasn't properly vetted, wasn't tried for the amount of time it should have been. They took an opportunity, never let a good crisis go to waste, and they put this crap, the liquid nanoparticle with the spike protein, in our bodies without really knowing what it would do, without really knowing short term, there was a little bit of chaos, as I mentioned, with the, that kind of reaction that people were getting, that anaphylactic action where people, you know, were having a shock and some were very, very ill. And then the long term, we really don't know what the long term effects of that are. So that being said, Pfizer's in a full panic mode after the O'Keefe Veritas undercover video in which they have a Pfizer executive admitting, oh, yeah, we're mutating, evolving viruses, and we're doing it so we can come up with future vaccines so we can make more money. Follow the cash. It is a cash cow. And so, again, this is where we're going to have to fight. This is the hill to die on. So this is where, you know, again, we're teetering on the brink. In this country, of giving up control to the Marxists versus to the freedom fighters.
Some people might not have any choice but to die on that hill.
Yeah, you're right about that. And some have already have, sad to say. Some were put back into nursing homes knowingly by people like Cuomo, Killer Cuomo in New York, Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, the Wicked Witch of the Midwest, Michigan, and of course, Phil Murphy in New Jersey. He just got smacked down, by the way, on a gun bill by a federal judge. So that is good news. But Donald Trump is out and running. He's hit the ground full tilt boogie, and he's swearing that we are going to stop the rot and the corruption. We're going to root it out in the Biden regime when he is reelected in 2024. Here's the former president.
Joe Biden is presiding over the most corrupt administration in American history. Their weaponization of law enforcement, intelligence agencies, and the deep state is very, in fact, deep-seated. It's the greatest threat American freedom in generations has seen, and their collusion with the fake news media is absolutely atrocious.
He's absolutely right. Joe Biden and the Biden regime, being puppeted by Barack Hussein Obama, Susan Rice, and even George Soros. There's a massive connection between all those three. They want to take America down. They want to take our free markets away, our capitalism. He is a direct threat, the biggest threat, President Trump said, to us as a nation. And he's got to stay on that message, and he's got to keep reminding people what's at stake in 2024. And here he says, go ahead, okay. Michelle.
I was just going to say, we knew it was going to be bad. I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Yeah, well, with Obama behind it and unchecked, mm-hmm. because now he's unfettered. He can do whatever he wants and not suffer the consequences of the daily press, if they would even hold his feet to the fire. But notice, he's not talking about classified documents. He's not giving up any opportunity to the class. You know, he's got to keep it all to himself. That's who he is. Again, he was the one that said in 2008, 5 days before election, it's just 5 days away before we transform America. The left will always tell you what they're going to do. The right is too stupid to listen to them. Until Donald Trump comes along.
Yep. Listen for that buzzword, transform.
Right.
That's a big buzzword for progressiveness.
And of course, Trump says some of the first things he's going to do when he is inaugurated again in January 20th, 2025. Let's listen to them.
Within hours of my inauguration, we will restore every border security measure of the Trump presidency. We had it so good. To quickly achieve the most secure border in U.S. history again, just as we had 2 years ago. And I'll ask Congress to establish criminal penalties for any future administration that releases millions and millions of people that you don't want in our country. And I don't say that as a bad person. I mean, I have a bigger heart than anybody. But we don't want their prisoners, and we don't want people that are living in mental institutions, and we don't want terrorists in our country. We don't want it. We're going to be paying a price for a long time. We have to get them out. We have to get them out. They poisoned our country. The people who launched this invasion, because it really is an invasion, we believe those people belong in jail. Something has to happen. You know, when they say conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republican or independent, it's really what people of common sense. It's not even conservative. It's people. It's just common sense. You want to have borders. You want to have voter ID.
He's absolutely right again. And that's in New Hampshire. I did notice the other day after that speech, the Rhino governor, Chris Sununu, who is the son of John Sununu, a Bushy. Chris Sununu was criticizing Donald Trump. Yeah, he came into the state, he read his teleprompter, and he left an uninspiring speech. There were no teleprompters in that speech. If you notice, when you're looking at the video, if you saw the clip, he was looking down at his notes, he was reading from it, and he was looking up, making eye contact. There was no teleprompter there. So Chris Sununu is a lying fool, as they say. Chairman Joe, last Friday, again, he knows the only shot he's got is to continue to divide this country, to try to drive a wedge between the Democrat and Republican, and between the GOPE, that's the establishment, the swamp, and the rhinos, and the rest of the MAGA Republican crowd. And here is what Biden said about MAGA Republicans and his economy.
Look, we're moving in the right direction. Now we got to protect those gains. Got to protect those gains that our policies have generated. Protect them from the MAGA Republicans in the House of Representatives who are threatening to destroy this progress. Look, you know, this ain't your father's Republican Party. This is a different breed of cat, as they say.
Hey, that's a breed of cat, man. I'm hip. I'm hip.
Projection.
I'm Joe Beatnik. Hey, yeah. Cat. Hey.
It's all projection. He's talking about their own party being a different cat.
Where is it? Where are your bongos, Joe?
Yeah.
So yesterday he traveled here to Baltimore. We broadcast behind enemy lines in the blue state of Maryland in the Baltimore metro area. Discussed how his infrastructure law was going to fund the replacement of the 150-year-old Baltimore and Potomac tunnel. It's called the BMP tunnel. has been now renamed the Frederick Douglass Tunnel. By the way, he forgot the name Frederick Douglass yesterday. But once again, he told the debunked story about the Amtrak worker by the name of Angelo Negri, who used to grab his cheek and shout, "Joey, baby!" Here he is lying again. This is the eighth time I have counted since his presidency and during the campaign.
Going home as a United States, as vice president, one of the conductors said, "Hey, Joe, big deal. Million, whatever, 200. You said you've traveled over 1,000,000 miles on Amtrak. I said, how the hell do you know that?" And they added it up as they're. But folks, look, I made 1,000 trips through this tunnel.
So Biden was claiming that he used to take the train to see his dying mom during his fourth or fifth year as vice president, when the Amtrak conductor pointed out that Biden had traveled over 1,000,000 miles on Air Force Two or whatever, and 1.5 miles on the train. Well, first off, Biden's mom died in 2010. The Amtrak conductor, Angelo Negri, retired in 1993, 22 years before Joe Biden went in 1,000,000 miles on Amtrak. It's a lie. He is a liar. He lied so much.
In his lazy boy chair with his grandkids around, he can tell them all those bullshit stories and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's sad, though, but those kids are going to grow up thinking he's actually a different guy than what than reality.
I know.
So we mentioned Tucker up at the top of the hour. Last night he did the piece. We've talked about it before on this show about all the so-called accidental fires, accidents, crashes in our food processing plants all over America. And the number one factor in the shortage of food production is this new Western energy policy and the impact that energy has on everything from field. I mean, you got to use it to make fertilizer, to fork, how we distribute our food stuffs, and other factors, including government policy, which blocks food development. By the way, did you see the videos of the Dutch farmers having to fight their government? Same for the Irish, same for the Sri Lankan farmers. Their governments have tried to block their food production because of energy, because of global warming. And now a sudden uptick in food facilities having major fires and damage. I think it's cause and effect. It's correlation and causation. And I think that this also goes into the reason why we're having problems with eggs, is because I've been told by farmers in Maryland, by the agriculture community, that a lot of their hens aren't laying. Like, I think if I remember correctly, a hen will lay an egg every 2 days. Okay? So if you have tens of thousands of hens, imagine how much egg production you're getting on a regular basis. Well, the hens in many of these farms aren't laying eggs for months. Not every 2 days. For months. And they finally trace it back to what they think is the feed. So the same feed that their chicken feed that they're using and the cattle feed that they're using for the livestock are having problems. Now, I don't know if they've corrected it or not, but I did talk to one farmer. They said when they switched out their feed, made by Purina, by the way, when they switched out their feed within a couple of days, the hens were fine. They were laying eggs.
They switched. The feed was Purina that they switched from.
Yes.
Or to.
Okay. They switched from Purina to another feed. Now, Purina claims that there's nothing wrong with their feed that they've tested. And I don't know for sure. Maybe something else would happen. But again, this is, let me give you the numbers. And I think the data speaks for itself. Just the other day, we had a massive egg farm fire in Connecticut. 100,000, or maybe I can't remember the exact number. Yeah, it was 100,000. 100,000 chickens died in that fire. And I went back and I looked and I said, gee, has this been a problem for a long period of time? And the number of accidental fires, whatever, in a couple of these processing plants, planes crashed into them. How often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So in 2019, it was 10 total in the United States. In 2020, the number grew to 26. And in 2021, that number grew to 33. All right, so not a big difference. It increased a little bit. Last year, over 100 incidents at food processing plants in the United States through August. I don't have the last 3-4 months of the year because they haven't given those numbers yet. That is a significant increase in the number of these incidents.
Yeah, I don't see it being coincidental.
Mm-mm.
And here is something else. Zero Hedge over the weekend reported that people on the other side of the planet are dropping dead from starvation right now. Most people don't even realize that this is happening because everybody's assuming everything's fine and dandy. But I will tell you right now, global hunger is rapidly spreading, and it's because global food supplies have been getting tighter and tighter. If the current trends continue, we could potentially be facing a nightmare scenario before the calendar year is over, and it could hit our shores as well. Right now, there are food shortages in Pakistan, in India, and the entire African continent. And the worst food crisis in the history of the world is happening, yet most U.S. and European Union media aren't reporting a damn thing about it. The famine is happening in complete Western silence. And so why? The question is why? Well, notice we're now beginning to see packages of insects appear on store shelves in Europe. I think they're trying to replace our proteins, which are considered damaging to the climate, like to raise cattle and to raise, you know, chicken poultry farms, things of that nature, because the amount of manure that and so on, everything and fertilizer that has to be used. And they're going to an all natural protein based source, insects.
Mm-hmm. Well, you saw that pyramid, the new pyramid, the food pyramid they have at the very bottom, that Cocoa Puffs and Lucky Charms is like the best, like you should eat that. And they have like eggs and steak and the meats up top, like they're right. They're not to be eaten. They're bad for you.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to play a clip for you, and I want your honest opinion after we play the clip. This is Joe Biden at last year's G7 summit, in which they were talking about global food supply. They were talking about climate change and all that stuff. And here's what he said about food shortages.
We had a long discussion in the G7 with both the United States, which has a third largest producer of wheat in the world, as well as Canada, which is also a major, major producer. And we both talked about how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
What? How we could increase and disseminate rapidly more food shortages? So either that is a complete Biden gaffe, which it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, it's entirely possible then, because he gets mixed up all the time. Or he just told you how they plan to implement the Great Reset, and they're going to use famine and starvation, and that will be the cause. See, they're creating the problem. They're right. Creating the problem of famine, and this is how we're going to solve it. It's like we created the problem of COVID. We have a pandemic, and the jabs are how we're going to solve it. It's the same pattern. And now either he stumbled onto the truth here, or this was a complete gaffe. What do you think?
Well, we've created the problem of global warming, so we're going to take away your oil and oil-powered cars without thinking about the consequences of the other parts of your life where petroleum is used. And I don't know what to make of it. That's...
Well, most people I played it for, yeah, it's a gaffe. He's confused. He couldn't possibly have meant that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Every once in a while, right. He does tell the truth. He does right. Tell you exactly what he is up to.
Right. I was going to say, or his gaffes cover up the what he said there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a list.
So you don't know what the hell he's saying.
To kill you, so right. We'll just starve you to death. Well, and then you'll do what we do, what we need you to do.
I have a list here, and it's over hundreds of food processing plants. Smithfield Foods, Kellogg's, JBS Beef Plant, Patak Meat Production Company, Garrett County Food Pantry, Made Right Steak Company Meat Processing Plant, the Cargill Nutrina Plant, and on and on and on it goes. Wisconsin River Meats. This is all across the country. Food processing plants, soybean processing, have been destroyed by fire or have had chemical. And I understand they're going to be in these processing plants. They're going to be accidents. I get that. They're going to be chemical reactions. They're going to be boiler explosions. But again, the numbers do not lie. Right. We went from 36 in 2021 to probably 136 in 2022. and we're off to a bad start in 2023 as well. So keep that in mind. Again, I'm not trying to convince you to be a survivalist. That's the proper term, not a prepper. Preppers don't like that, or survivalists don't like that term, prepper. But, you know, it wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt to be prepared. Wouldn't hurt to have some extra food on hand. I'm not a conspiracy kook. I'm not wearing my tinfoil hat. I just look at the data, and it's my job as an analyst to question when that data seems out of sort, when it's distorted, or maybe it's it doesn't add up. I don't believe in coincidences. I really don't. I could see if it was an outlier 1 year, it spiked up a couple of, we went from 20 to 50, but it went back down to 30 the next year. But this has been steadily growing, and now it's off the charts. All right, in Minnesota, we have a horrific bill that has passed. It is a bill of the state assembly, and this is all in Dobbs, Jackson, Roe v. Wade. We have radical states like Maryland last year tried to pass an infanticide bill that would allow women to kill their babies up to 28 days after they were born. Thank God that bill lobbied against that bill. We got that bill killed here in the state of Maryland. Not so lucky in Minnesota, where they passed a bill by one vote, 34 to 33, to allow the unborn child to be killed up until the moment of birth. The head could be crowning in the birth canal, and the bill says it's okay to kill that child. What have we become? I will tell you, monsters. This is how monsters, and people criticized Mengele and Hitler and the Third Reich. This is right up there. And the Chi-Coms, which have a forced sterilization policy. And speaking of which, they have done that in this bill as well. They're allowing the sterilization of minors without parental consent. And here is an exchange I'm going to play for you between a Minnesota Senate, a senator, and a person that's testifying before the Senate on what age can the state sterilize without parental consent. Here it is.
Is there any age in which an individual obtains this fundamental right that's contemplated in this bill?
There's no specific age indicated in the bill, no.
Just so I'm understanding the bill correctly, and the implications of this, obviously there's been a lot of discussion about the abortion aspect of it, but would this bill then create a fundamental right for, say, a 13-year-old to get sterilization services?
Senator, the bill doesn't have a specific age limit, and there are excellent reasons why people who are younger than the age of majority will seek reproductive health care and need confidentiality about that. Many of the people who do seek reproductive health care who are not the age of majority are accompanied by parents or guardians, people that who they trust, who are counseling them, but some are not. And there are standards of practice well established within the medical field whereby decisions about sterilization in particular there's a process that people would go through in order to receive that type of care and for certain reasons. In conclusion, the bill entrusts Minnesotans to make these decisions with their healthcare providers under the laws that we have in the state and the standards of practice that are currently in place. This bill does not change those standards of practice. This bill does not change other laws that may be in place around these issues. Again, this is really establishing that right to make those fundamental decisions without government interference in that decision.
So I'll take it that the answer to my question is yes.
It was long, but I wanted you to see and hear the entire exchange because, you know, she did not answer the question. I mean, when she says that it doesn't change the law, it does change the law. Heretofore, a minor in the state of Minnesota was not able to be sterilized without parental consent. And now this bill changes that. And so, and we've seen all sorts of mistakes already with the trans top and bottom surgeries, the regrets on that. And you're making a decision perhaps at the age of 10, 11, 12 to sterilize. Well, it's irreversible, by the way. Once you sterilize a young woman or a young man.
That's right.
That's it.
And it's eugenics 2.0 to me. It's just them, their way of population control. It's it's population control. That's all it is.
Well, add that to the other problem that we're having in the world. The global birth rate right now is 103 males to 100 females. But in China and in India, 95% of the sex selection abortions are occurring in those two countries where they don't. They basically want more males than females. Mm-hmm. The global birth rate there in China is about 123 to 100. So you got about many more males than females. Males are more coveted in the system of, in China and in India. And we see that here in the United States in foreign-born populations where they would rather have male children over female children. U.S.-born populations are about even, as they should be. And in some countries, they've banned telling the parents the sex of the child beforehand so they can't do a sex selection abortion, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah.
But again, here in the United States, we have freedom. Look, there's something, and I don't know if you're aware of this, it's called the sperm sorting. Doctors can now take sperm for artificial insemination, and they can do something with it and determine whether it's an X or Y sperm. And then they can implant that sperm in to fertilize the egg, thus guaranteeing which sex you're going to have. That's how crazy this has gotten. And I think it is, I think it's disrespectful. I think, again, we're in danger as a culture and as a country if we devalue female children.
Playing God.
Yep.
And that's got to stop.
And because we need females to help propagate the species, just as you need males.
Right.
But the females are carrying the children, nurturing the children, and mothering the children. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just completely dystopian. What's next now? We're just going to tell women, we don't need you. We have artificial uteruses that we're going to be using.
You know, men can have babies and all that.
Well, yeah, now they can. trans men. Or what are they called? I saw some kind of application for medical care the other day. Somebody sent me from a local hospital that said it's a FTM or MTF. Have you seen those terms before?
No.
Yeah, female to male or male to female. That's how screwed up and crazy we are as a country. But that is a horrifying radical left bill.
Yes.
And that's what these these companies and rather these estates are doing in an overreaction to the Dobbs-Jackson Roe v. Wade thing. All right, on to the document scandal. And the DOJ has informed Jim Jordan, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, they will not comply with a request for the Biden classified documents due to ongoing special counsel investigations. That is not sitting well with Senator Marco Rubio. And this is a bipartisan issue. Here's Rubio.
The position the DNI has taken on this topic is untenable. It cannot be that their answer is, we can't tell you what was discovered until the special counsel allows us to tell you.
Yeah, so the here's a great scenario. Boy, Biden's in trouble here. Let's appoint a special counsel. We won't have to share this, maybe for years, and get us through the next election. Senator Mark Warner, a Democrat, also not happy.
That we are left in limbo until somehow a special counsel designates that it's okay for us to get briefed is not going to stand.
And Senator John Cornyn of Texas says, look, we're qualified. We have top secret clearances, and we have a SCIF right in the bottom of our building.
Everybody who handles classified materials know that you are only supposed to look at them in a secure facility called a SCIF.
Yep.
And When they're transferred from secure facility to another secure facility, it's all under lock and key to make sure those documents are prepared. So never is it permissible to look at those documents, review them outside of a secure facility.
So why then did Merrick Garland appoint a special counsel for Biden and Trump? Well, Trump, of course, you got to cover your six. And so Biden's special counsel then will delay the document production to Congress. And the question is, when the legislative branch, which has executive oversight over the executive branch, because they're funding it, when they demand answers, what the executive branch does, so, okay, we'll appoint a special counsel, and you can't see them. So now they're going to have to sue. They're going to have to go to court. And the judicial branch, this is a constitutional quandary. The judicial branch is going to have to weigh in as to whether these documents must be produced or not. And this could all take months, if not years. And who knows if we'll ever know what's in these classified documents before the next election cycle. One of the ongoing services we have here on the Sean Casey Show is we try an endeavor to help former presidents and vice presidents if they can't find their classified documents in their home. So they may want to avail themselves of this service.
Uh-oh, surprised by another stack of those pesky, unexpected classified documents? You need Classifind, the classified document finder. Classifind easily detects our nation's secrets no matter where you carelessly left them. In the garage by your Corvette? No problem. Lining the hallways of your swanky private club? Piece of cake. Maybe at your vice president's Indiana home. No matter where classified documents were illegally taken, Classifind has you covered. So don't wait for the FBI to throw on the cuffs in front of your wife and crying children. Order your Classifind today.
Sounds like the Whistlers from, see, Bob. Bob has, what was it, the ED commercials? Classifind is available at a store near you. Okay. On to the Memphis. Oh, by the way, they found a third Hunter Biden email on the laptop with classified information. And all of his emails, they have one thing in common. How do we make more money for the Biden crime family? So they were trafficking in classified information to enrich themselves and putting our national security at stake.
Call Classifind.
All right, the sixth Memphis police officer is involved in the Tyre Nichols case has now been relieved of duty. But this guy didn't have anything to do with beating Tyre Nichols. And this guy happens to be white. He was involved in tasering Tyre Nichols in the first traffic stop. If you remember the white cop with the taser gun that tried to stop him before he ran away.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought they were trained to do that. If a suspect is resisting arrest and is attempting to flee, that they could taser. Well, he's being relieved of duty right now, pending further investigation. I think it's just to put a white face on the whole thing, because their white supremacy argument is going up in smoke. The Memphis Fire Department has also fired three emergency responders for failing to what they say is provide medical care to Tyre Nichols. He had a black male, a black female, and a white male EMT, according to Fox 13 in Memphis. And again, they were dispatched at 8:30 in the evening, and it has something to do, I guess, with what time they got there and what time they were able to, render aid or whatever. So they have now been suspended as that net grows. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who himself was an ex-cop in Brooklyn, he was asked this question about, well, it can't be racist, right? Because the Memphis police chief says it's not, and the five black officers are black, right?
Let me ask you, Chief CJ Davis, in my interview with her, she said that all the officers being black, it takes race off the table. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think that I understand what the chief was saying, and I think she really handled this situation in a very professional way. She moved swiftly. She assured that those officers were removed from the department. She took all the necessary steps. But I think race is still on the table. When a culture of policing historically has treated those from different groups differently, even when the individuals are from that same group, that culture can still exist. And we have to zero in on it, being honest about it, and making sure that we properly train police for the realities of the cities that they are policing in.
So can't take race off the table because Democrats never take race off the table. And that's the reason why he won't do it here as well. You need to have that race hammer, you know, to pound the Republicans over the head with. Pardon the recent news events. Whoopi Goldberg, she also upset at the video. She felt compelled to comment and once again inject race into the whole thing. Here's what Whoopi had to say.
But, you know, when will the brutality finally lead to some police reform from the ground up? Because clearly, it doesn't matter if it's a white policeman or a black policeman, it is a problem in the police, in the policing itself. You know, seems things don't seem to make sense to people unless it's somebody they can feel or they can recognize. But how many times do we need to see white people also get beaten before anybody will do anything? I'm not suggesting that. So don't write us and tell me what a racist I am.
Okay.
But they have been beaten. White people have been beaten and killed more at the hands of police than other races.
As a group, yes. And you could make a statistical argument. There are more white people than there are black people, and that's why it balances out. But let me throw some names at you. Of course, most recent is Tyre Nichols. What about Freddie Gray? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Mike Brown. Mike Garner. These are all names that you should be somewhat familiar with. Again. And I think Orlando Castillo is another one. And so we've heard all of these. Brianna. Remember Brianna?
Brianna Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Brianna Taylor. Say her name. So we know all these names, right? Let me give you some other names. Brandon Stanley. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Zach Hammond. Daniel Shaver. James Scott. Andrew Thomas. Nothing?
No.
Dylan Noble. I stopped there. That's about half a dozen. They're all white people that were shot to death by police. Killed.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Stanley was fleeing Bobby Smith. A sheriff, Smith tracked Stanley down to a convenience store, shot him dead. Daniel Shaver in Arizona was waving a pellet gun out of a motel window. Police officer detained him. Despite Shaver complying with all of his demands, there's video of this, he shot him dead. In North Dakota, James Scott, allegedly intoxicated, dropped a gun and fled police officers, but refused to put his hands up when detained. They shot him dead. These people were white. Andrew Thomas got into an SUV, suspected he was drunk, gave chase. Police gave chase. Thomas's vehicle rolled over. Officer shot him in the neck as he was climbing out of his vehicle. He died in the hospital. He was white. Then in Fresno, recently Dylan Noble, 19, stopped by police officers, had his hands up, but after reaching into his waistband, was shot several times, at one point lifting his arm to say that he had been shot. There's video of that. Oh, by the way, he's dead, and he is white. Zach Hammond, same thing. Police shot and killed him when he was smoking a marijuana cigarette in his car outside a 7-Eleven, and he was so high, apparently didn't hear the cops knocking on the window. And he made a sudden movement, dead. So why the double standard? Why, when white people are beaten or shot and killed by police, and I think it's 3% of police killing whites and 1% police killing blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a slight, but again, there's more whites than there are blacks. So,
right.
But I'm more interested in why we don't have this knee-jerk response when it's a white person versus a black person. And because I'll give it to you the reason why, it doesn't fit the media narrative. That is the reason why. It does not fit the media narrative about race in America. And that is the reason why that they will continue to pound this. Now, it's interesting. We gave you a few little tidbits from Memphis, but it's pretty much, have you seen a lot of coverage today of the Memphis story?
No,
I really haven't.
Not a whole lot.
Because once again, it doesn't fit the meal. When black cops kill a black man, that they're not interested in that per se as much. They tried the white supremacy argument. It didn't resonate. When white cops kill a black suspect or a black man, then that's major news. Then here comes the racial grievance crowd, the Al Charlatans, the Ben Crumps of the world. Used to be the Just Us brothers, Jesse Jackson and Al Charlton.
The racial industrialists.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to get to the Mark Houck story today. We'll hopefully do that on Friday because it's an important story that you must hear. It goes along with a totalitarian theme. I do want to play our cringe moment of the day. This is Bill Gates, Microsoft guru, population planner, great resetter. He was asked a question about Jeffrey Epstein. Watch and listen to him squirm.
Now, one of the issues that's dogged you is that of your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Do you regret the relationship that you maintained with him against Melinda's advice and wishes?
Oh, I've said that you're going way back in time. But yeah,
new audience.
I will say for the, over 100th time, yeah, I shouldn't have had dinners with him.
Epstein had a way of sexually compromising people. Is that what Melinda was warning you about?
No. I mean, I had dinner with him and that's all.
And that you regret the relationship, the acquaintance?
That I had dinner with him.
And the relationship between the foundation and Epstein, which
there never was any relationship of any kind.
Wow. I give her credit. She has some tough questions of Bill Gates. I'm sure he'll never return on her program
right
again.
Between the eyes.
He could be Drew Carey's brother.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It does kind of remind of separated at birth. Time for the, by the way, we forgot this.
Wait, hold on. What?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, what? What did you say? You said you had a relationship or dinner? And he was like smiling the entire time. Was that nervous smile? Time for the unhinged moment.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
President Trump. Adjust the microphone as a tall man.
One of the reasons I'm not a big TikTok fan, well, besides being a Chi-Com platform, it'll steal your identity and your banking information and so on and so forth, is the number of people on there that just espouse stupid political opinions when they're not steeped in any facts. They're just, look, everybody's entitled to an opinion, and on TikTok you get it. This one dealing with Tyree Nichols.
I got a message today for some white people. If we have white people listening, paying attention, we did this. White supremacy did this. I'm talking about Tyree Nichols. The police didn't do this. The Memphis Police Department didn't do this. White supremacy did this.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All right, Pockets of Patriots today. Hey, getting in the top 10, Rensselaer, Indiana, and Bessemer, Alabama. Big download week for Rensselaer and Bessemer. And we want to give a shout out to Hillsborough, New Jersey, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. A new Sylvester Stallone. Is it Netflix? Maybe it's Paramount. I think it's Paramount. It may be one of those. It's called the King of Tulsa or Tulsa King or something. If I'm
living on Tulsa time.
Yeah, Tulsa time. Indeed. All right. That is going to do it for us today on this Wednesday hump day, February 1st. And then we're back on Friday with a brand new episode with our outrages of the week. Remember, you can email us at theseancaseyshow@gmail.com. That's theseancaseyshow@gmail.com.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
And thanks again to our executive producer, Joe Hosni Armacost.
No more Amtrak stories!
And our associate producer and researcher, Double X, Michelle.
My pleasure. Hey, I got the key.
That's right. And to Hunter and Logan Casey, your other associate producers. Yeah. Until Friday, remember to stay free.